WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition, a Father's Day edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. And we're getting ready for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. We've been hyping this race for a while, and hopefully our listeners are going to represent, show up in force, and check out a little Thunder Valley action. Tonight on the show, he's back in Top Fuel. We're going to hear from Doug Herbert, going to be attempting to qualify in Top Fuel first time this year, and out there, very familiar with Bristol. We'll hear from Doug on this show. Also on this show, we're going to hear from ESPN's Dave Reef. Dave, a friend of the show, in the booth doing the lead announcing on ESPN2. We're going to hear from Dave, find out what he thinks of the new gig and what he thinks of what's going on in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And we put out a tweet this week. We said, who do you guys want to hear on the show? We sent that out to our WFO Radio audience out there on Twitter. And of course, you should follow us on Twitter so you can voice your opinion. And you said, Tim Wilkerson, we want Wilk. We want Wilk. We want. And so we got him. We got Tim Wilkerson for you on this show. So if you're a first time listener, get in, sit down, strap in, hold on. Do what you got to do, because we're about to explore the world of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And we start them all off the same way with the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be here, as always.
Bristol, baby. Bristol.
Yeah, Bristol's just a great little facility. It's got such a personality, and down in the valley, and of course it's a Bruton Smith place, and it's a very historic racetrack, and it's just a fun part of the country to visit.
A lot of work went into that place as well, in raising it and lifting it, and it wasn't just when you go there, it wasn't like that from the beginning.
Larry Carrier originally put the place together back in the 60s, I believe. It was an NHRA track for a while. It was an AHRA track for a while. Of course, Larry invented the IHRA. He had some disagreements about the way things were being done, so he said, you know what, I'm just going to do it my way. And then it was great when Bristol came back into the fold, when Bruton got involved with the racetrack and brought it back into the NHRA fold. Of course, we had, you know, the All-Stars race, the Winston Challenger a couple of times, where we raced Top Fuel cars against Funny Cars heads up, and it's just a spectacular Bruton Smith style facility and a fun race.
That's funny that you should mention that, because it's been a long time, but that's one of the things I immediately think of when I think of Bristol. I think of Funny Cars racing Top Fuel dragsters. We only did that for a couple of years, but it's burned on my brain.
John Force and his Superman car, who won the thing the first year, that was just an all-time classic moment, I think. I was never a huge fan, let's say, of that format. I mean, I understood, you know, hey, wanting to do it and do something special for the fans, but I like it a whole lot better now that Bristol's just a good old hardcore national event, and everybody's taking it a whole lot more seriously. You know, a lot of times you get to those all-star events, and guys go into test mode and do stuff, and it's more fun, I think, to see them, you know, when they're actually racing seriously.
I agree, and I never thought that was too fair for the Top Fuel guys to have to sit there and wait for the light with all that chaos going on next to you.
Well, you know, I mean, we're talking less than a second, so, you know, it's not like you had to sit there and keep your concentration. And it was interesting, one year the Funny Car guys were convinced the Top Fuel guys were just leaving on noise, because if you hear the Funny Car leave, and then the Top Fuel guy would stand on the gas, that was going to be pretty close. At one point, Al Hoffman went upstage and blipped the throttle, trying to get his opponent to jump off sides, but it was, you know, I don't know that the top fuel guys were at a huge disadvantage, but I like it better when it's just head-to-head. Then, you know, nobody's got an excuse.
Well, we have got exactly that this weekend and back in action and really getting rolling with the schedule over the next couple of weeks. You've got Bristol, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, then Epping, New Hampshire, which I hear some big things going on up there in Epping. Massive demand for tickets.
Inaugural events are always like that. You know, everybody wants to be there the first time, especially since NHRA has not had a national event presence in that part of the country before. So it'll be huge. You know, obviously the big thing to do is for our guys to put on a good enough show that everybody will want to come back. You know, inaugural events, again, are, you know, they're always huge. The first event at Vegas is huge. The first event at Charlotte was huge. But, you know, the key is to make sure that everybody has a good experience coming out there and wants to come back. You know, you can certainly get into situations like, you know, one thing that comes to mind is Kentucky Speedway a couple of years ago. You know, I don't think they were ready for what they got, and it ended up, you know, leaving a bad taste in some of the spectators' mouth. And, you know, between the track and the National Hot Rod Association and everybody working together, we have to make sure that doesn't happen. We have to make sure that the racers put on a great show and that, you know, all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed so that the fans enjoy the event and want to come back.
Absolutely. That having been said, though, they're going back to Kentucky Speedway in force now that they've massaged the bits of problems. It's sometimes you can't possibly imagine what it's going to be like until you do it.
Well, but see, that's the thing. You should be able to. You know, NASCAR certainly knows what their events are like. The people at Kentucky Speedway might not have been ready for it, but you should be able to anticipate those things. And, you know, we can go to a place like Dallas, just to pick one out of the sky, and have a not great race. You know, we've got such a great history in Dallas, and hey, every once in a while you have one of those races, right? There's a lot of tire smoke. There's just, you know, it's not your best race. But the fans in Dallas are hardcore enough to understand that, and, you know, they'll come back next year. But if we go to New England and have not a great race, that's not the impression we want to leave on all those brand-new fans. We want to make sure that it is a tremendous show for the new fans so that they get hooked on NHRA Championship drag racing.
Just a couple of weeks away, going to be very, very cool. Some other news that came out this week I think is kind of interesting because over the past couple of years, actually dating all the way back to the beginning, we've seen some funny car bodies launched, and NHRA has been working with several of the funny car teams to create a new latching and tethering system that will be in use beginning at the Mopar Mile High Nationals. I thought that was kind of cool that the safety of the sport continues to evolve.
It's a moving target, no question. You know, safety from day one. You know, you do what you think is right, and then as things happen and as incidents occur, you know, sometimes you have to be proactive, or sometimes you have to be reactive. You know, obviously we've seen some of those funny car issues here recently. You know, and it's always interesting because there are those who would say, you know, well, you got to do something, but, you know, NHRA, historically speaking, tries to take a little time and put a little thought in, and instead of doing a knee-jerk today and then having to make another adjustment down the road, they try to, you know, take the time, make the right decision the first time so that everybody's got one adjustment to make and then they go forward. Those double latches have been on the Coletta cars for the last couple of races. I don't know how many people noticed them, but they're, you know, pretty prominent sticking out the nose of those Toyotas. But I think, you know, the right thing. You know, they go to the big teams, they go to the manufacturers and say, hey, guys, we all know this is a problem. We all know we have to fix it. They put their heads together and come up with a solution. Obviously, you know, we'll have to wait and see just how it works and what happens. But, you know, I applaud them for, you know, recognizing and taking steps to make it better, you know, before something happens and somebody gets hurt.
And just to get a little more in-depth to it, it's a tethering system that includes a dual front latching system as well as a tethering system that will connect the front latching system to the firewall or the driver's compartment, basically so it doesn't pop loose and then the 300-mile-per-hour wind blows the body into the air.
Well, a number of the events that we've seen recently have broken the body basically right at the windshield. There have been a few of them where the nose stayed on the car. Tony Pedregon's did that. I believe Hagen's did that in Bristol. and the rest of the body comes off. Now, the body tree underneath that used to support that has been trimmed down a little bit, A, for weight, B, because the carbon bodies are deemed to be so much better than the old fiberglass ones, so maybe they didn't need the extra support. So making sure the front end stays on is important, and then making sure that the back of the car is attached, so even if there is that explosion that breaks the body in half, it tries to keep, or it keeps the back half of the body from turning into a kite. Like I said, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, not the kind of thing you can really go out there and test it out.
No, nobody wants to be the guy who tests it, but somebody will.
Get out there, Alan. You've been wanting to drive one of these things.
Yeah.
We got it
yeah,
set
I'll get
to...
right on that.
We got it set to blow. Now, thinking about Bristol, one of the things that comes into mind was the near tie. What would you call it? One of the closest races ever, the closest race ever between Alan Johnson and Mike Edwards?
Less than a thousandth of a second is what the determining factor was at the finish line. Yeah, it was. And the fact that it happened at Alan Johnson's home track and he came out on the wrong side of it, it's kind of like one of those, you know, hey, you talk to the racing gods and just tell them, hey, good one. But, you know, Mike Edwards has owned that joint for a long time now, so it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that streak going.
Yeah, many streaks going in particular. Now, Alan, in between weeks, we do have some questions from WFO Radio listeners for you. Are you ready?
Sure. Stump the dummy.
No way. These are all easy. All right, this first one coming via email from John, who is actually from the South Florida area and was a big-time NASCAR guy and has gotten heavy into the drag racing from listening to this show, by the way. Wants to know about the double light. Watching Englishtown race, Vincent Nobile was celebrating winning that matchup on Sunday and on his radio saying that he double lighted him. I know this has to do with pre-stage and stage bowl, but what exactly is the detail does this mean? This drag race novice needs to know. Thanks, John.
Almost all of the drivers run through what they call a courtesy stage procedure, and as a matter of fact, it's required in the Lucas Oil ranks. It's not required in the pro ranks, but in pro stock especially, you light the top bulb and you wait until your opponent lights the top bulb or the top half of the LED. That's the signal to the other guy that, hey, okay, we're ready to go. At that point, you go through whatever your routine is. You know, in a funny car, in a top fuel car, you turn the pumps on, you take your foot off the pedal, you bump the thing in. In a pro stock car, you set your brake pressure to about 300 pounds on the front brakes on the line lock. Most of the time, they'll whack the throttle, clean the motor out once or twice, bring the RPM up, and then you ease the clutch out and overcome the line lock to inch the car in and stage. Obviously, your opponent does the same thing. You both smash the gas and turn the clutch loose, and off you go. Now, double bulbing is when the first car rolls in and lights both bulbs, or the top and bottom of the LED, gets fully staged before the opponent has gotten into the pre-stage. There's nothing illegal about it. Sometimes it's gamesmanship. Somebody will go up there and go, okay, well, you know, we'll put a little pressure on the guy to get him something to think about. Sometimes it's done accidentally. A guy will just roll in, and the car goes a couple inches further than he intended it to, which I believe is what Shane did. But the bottom line is that Shane Gray was fully staged on the starting line before Vincent started his pre-stage routine. Now, Vincent can go in, pre-stage, set his brake pressure, take his time, bump his way in, thereby giving Shane the opportunity to be ready to go when the tree comes down, or he can do what he did. He can stop short and go, all right, let's play this game. He dove in, turned both bulbs on, which momentarily shocked Shane. You know, he's sitting there looking at the car going, what's he doing? Well, by then the tree came on, and Shane lost on a massive hole shot. So the bottom line is, I believe that Shane, you know, did it accidentally. But Shane made a mistake. Vincent saw the mistake and said, I can take advantage of that to win this race, especially since Shane's car had been running so well. And he did, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, taking advantage of your opponent's mistakes has always been a way to win sporting events, whatever event it is. If you're in the Super Bowl and the quarterback screws up and throws an interception, you don't go hand him the ball back. You take advantage of his mistake. Shane made a mistake. Vincent took advantage of it. And that's the bottom line.
Absolutely. And do you think this sport has become very gentlemanly over the years? It hasn't always necessarily been that way, generally speaking, I would say. But is that something you think Shane is going to keep in the front of his memory for the next time he races Vincent? He might, you know, want to give it back?
But what are you going to do? I mean, you know, if he goes in and double bulbs again, well, then Vincent is in the driver's seat again. He can make his decision. I think what Shane is going to do in the future is be more careful that he doesn't accidentally do that and give the other guy an opportunity. You know, if I don't think there's any bad blood between the two of them. You know, they were talking about it at the end of the racetrack after it was over with. You know, there was no yelling, no screaming. It's just, you know, Shane made a mistake. Vince took advantage of it. Shane needs to not make that mistake again, especially now, because when you've got the fast car, you shouldn't play those games. And Shane's car right now is very fast. He just needs to run his race, and he's going to win plenty of them.
Absolutely. Next question, this one coming from Greg in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Greg from PA. I read a story in National Dragster that Larry Morgan was having a problem with the slicks rubbing against the wheel tubs in the back of his Pro Stock. I was wondering if anyone has any info about that, how it was fixed. Thanks.
I didn't hear Larry was having a problem with what?
His slicks rubbing the inside of his wheel tubs on his Pro Stock car.
Yes. And I'm not sure if he just got a big set of tires or what was going on, but, you know, the Pro Stock tires vary an inch or two in height, and obviously that changes the diameter. For years and years, the smaller the tires were better because the initial inertia to get them going would make the car a little bit faster. And I actually built a tire shrinker at one point when I worked for David Nickens, which was a pretty interesting piece of equipment, because we could buy, you know, 104-inch tires and turn them into 99s, which was a tremendous advantage on the race car.
Say what?
But,
how do you shrink a
Larry
tire, Alan?
Actually, hang on. Well, Larry actually modified the wheel wells. And apparently, as I understand it, he talked to somebody in the tech department and said, hey, I'm having a problem with this. And Larry's understanding was that, you know what, go ahead and modify the wheel wells. Getting the tire clearance is important. He made the modification, and then at some point down the road, it was, no, that was a misunderstanding. You shouldn't have done that. So he had to go back and change the car back. But, yeah, tires rubbing in Pro Stock is basically as old as time itself.
That is very interesting. I'm still trying to figure out how you would shrink a tire. Like, how does that happen? I've heard of inflating them and putting them in the sun to stretch them. That makes perfect sense. Shrinking.
You shrink them. I'm not going to tell everybody. If somebody wants, like, you know, they call me and pay me and I'll build them a tire shrinker.
I know what you do. You take them and you put them in the dryer on high heat, just
That's
like
actually
a
close.
Cotton t-shirt.
That's actually close.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. The tire shrinker, that was a pretty interesting little experiment that we did.
Very,
and it worked.
Very, very cool. All right, next question. This one coming from Jeff in Texas.
Hey, Joe. It's Jeff White from Texas. Hey, from an intellectual property standpoint strictly, I'd love to hear yours and Alan's comments on Hector Arana's argument that his intellectual property had been stolen in Matt making a seat that was somewhat similar to the one Matt had bought from Hector. Looking at the pictures that were available in Competition Plus, I was embarrassed for Hector. I thought that Matt's seat was way different and was nothing more than common fabrication. So just wondered what your guys' thoughts were. You may have seen it in person. Thanks, sir.
Alan?
Well, I don't really have a horse in this race. So, you know, I know from talking to Hector that he was upset about the fact that he sold something and believes it was copied. You know, Matt's version of it is, you know, hey, I didn't copy it, I made my own. Well, my question would have been, if you can make your own that simply, why did you buy one from Hector in the first place? You know, and I really don't know the ins and outs about it other than, you know, obviously it turned into an incident out in Englishtown. But I'm not going to really speculate on what either one was thinking because I can't tell you that. I know why Hector was upset. I know why Matt was upset. I'm not taking a side.
Well, let's change the conversation and not make it about these two people in particular, because I am curious about this and I do not know. Having done some things in with business, legal, and whatnot regarding intellectual property, how does that work in the auto racing field where everybody is really copying everyone at all times to try to improve everything, whether it is a part, an engine design, an intake manifold, whatever it is, if someone's got it this week and it works, chances are everyone else is going to copy it. If they buy it, are these things trademarked? I doubt it, because it's such a rapidly changing environment. They couldn't go through the process to copyright or trademark before what they did was outdated. Is there a rule of thumb, a gentleman's agreement, or is it free for all? How does that work if there's any kind of set agreement?
Well, there's certainly a gentleman's agreement, but, you know, not everybody that's in the industry is a gentleman. I personally know a guy here in town, you know, my buddy Jeff, who makes carburetor spacers. and he's done a lot of experimentation and a lot of different design work and a lot of things to make carburetor spacers that are worth a few horsepower. Now, you know, he sells them to a couple of pretty big-time engine builders. Earnhardt Childress buys carburetor spacers from him. Well, he also has, at times, you know, met with, let's say, you know, Joe's Racing Engines, just to make up a company. You know, Joe's Racing Engines contacts him and says, you know, hey, we understand you make these carburetor spacers. And Jeff says, yeah, as a matter of fact, blah, 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 I'll shoot you a couple of them. You can try them out. Well, then 3 months later, when the new catalog from Joe's Racing Engines come out, they are selling the exact same carburetor spacer that they just took and digitized and start bumping them out of their own CNC machine. Now, do you have grounds to chase that guy, to sue him, to do, and is it worthwhile? Or do you just realize that, you know what, that's a guy I'm never going to do business with again? And it's, you know, it's kind of a difficult, especially in this day and age, you know, with the computer technology and with CNC machines and basically anything can be copied, you know, it's difficult. And I don't know, you know, from a legal standpoint, I don't know of anybody that's ever, you know, gone to court over something like that, but I do know that it certainly has happened from time to time where one guy thinks he has an exclusive design and then somebody digitizes it and starts knocking them off. So, you know, that's obviously some legal gray area there that that I'm not real comfortable with.
Me either, but I think about how do you unlearn something that you've seen. If someone does come up with an innovation, whatever it is, and the competition sees it, then isn't it only to be expected that they're going to copy it? And I think that is unfortunate, you know, and it is a legal area that I am also uncomfortable with, but I can see it happening.
I don't have too much of a problem with, you know, if somebody sees that I have a tunnel ram manifold on my car and they want to go home and build a tunnel ram, I'm okay with that. But if somebody takes my tunnel ram and then digitizes it and starts copying it, I'm not okay with that. And, you know, I don't know where exactly the line is. And I'm sure that anybody you would talk to would say, well, no, it's not exactly like yours. I changed this a little bit or I changed that a little bit. You know, it's, you know, I looked at your design, but then I improved on it.
Right. I tried to improve your design you gave me.
You know, at that point, you know, do you owe me something for taking my design to start with? Because I certainly saved you a lot of time and effort if I've gone through the first 10 steps. And like I said, you know, where that legal line is, I don't know. But I do know that there are a number of people in the industry that have, you know, sold something to Joe's Engine Shop once and will never do business with him again.
Listen, we here at Joe's Engine Shop have the highest level of integrity.
Well, see, that's why I used you as an example, because I know that Joe's Engine Shop is, you know, above reproach, so that you wouldn't have any problem being used as the example in this fictitious hypothetical situation.
I think it's so much better now that it is fictitious and hypothetical. But an area that I'm sure is very interesting to a lot of people, especially our caller. And
I'll give you one other example that I think is really interesting: the cam grinders. Okay.
Yes.
Almost nobody grinds their own cams. You go through one of the major companies, and they make cams for you. Now, would you like to have the same camshaft that Mike Edwards has?
Yes.
So would everybody else in Pro Stock. But that is a Mike Edwards exclusive that they grind especially for him. And if you call the guy and say, hey, will you make me a cam exactly like Mike Edwards has, he'll tell you yes. You send me the specs, and I will make you the cam. And if you send me the same exact specs that Mike has, that's the cam I'm going to make for you. But all of my cams are made to spec, so you have to send me exactly what you want. I had an interesting situation with a nut and bolt manufacturer about 2 or 3 years ago, probably. I had a buddy of mine that was looking for a specific bolt. Now, he says, I know that they make these. It was, you know, I've seen them. So I talked to the guy, and I said, hey, can you? And he said, nope. He said, we make those exclusively for Joe's Engine Shop. I can't sell them to anybody other than Joe's Engine Shop. So he can go buy them from Joe's Engine Shop if he wants to, or if he wants to send me a spec that says, I need a bolt 3 inches long with half an inch of thread with this head on it with this, well, at that point, he has ordered the bolt, and I can make it for him, but I can't just tell him, hey, those bolts that we make for Joe's, we're going to start selling to Alan. If Alan orders the exact same part, that's fine. I'm making what you ordered, but I can't just take the other guy's design and sell it straight out to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely does. It absolutely
at that point, the engineering's already been done. You know, they have a part like that in the computer so they can start making them, but they can't take that exclusive part that they make for Joe's Engine Shop and sell it to me.
And when you're designing your specs that you require, just because someone else has those specs doesn't mean you can't run those specs. It's just that you can't request someone else's specs that they've already ordered. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, it's a difficult, like I said, it's kind of a gray area with the technology that's available today. So, you know, it's just, there's a lot of that that goes on out there. And I say, I understand Hector being upset that he feels like his design was copied. Matt says, well, I didn't copy your design. I improved on the design. And he says, you know, it's nothing. Anybody could make one of those in 10 minutes, at which point I would say, then why did you buy mine in the first place? But, you go back and forth on that for 3 weeks, and I'm not taking a side.
Yeah, absolutely. And as soon as you figure out the answer, they're both outdated anyway, and someone has designed something better. So That's the world of auto racing in general. Four Thunder Valley Nationals this weekend. Alan back running again. Funny Car, Top Fuel, both very close. Do you think Sean Langdon's going to be able to keep the streak rolling?
You know, right now he's got the best car in the class. And Alan Johnson has shown in the past, when he gets onto something, he can usually keep it going. You know, they said last year that they didn't feel like they had an advantage, and they were going to give some up to try to regain the advantage. Right now, it looks like he's got it a little bit on the field. Will I be surprised if he keeps it going? Not at all. Will I be surprised if one of the DSR cars steps up? Not at all. You know, will I be surprised if Bob Vandergriff went? No. There's just too many good cars out there. You know, Coletta's car is too good to have not won yet this year. It's just, you know, competition right now is fun. And you know, with 7 races coming in the next 8 weeks, this would be a really good time to have your ducks lined up because you can make a whole lot of hay in the next couple of months.
Here we go. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much for answering some questions from our WFO radio listeners. Have a great time out there in Bristol. Father's Day weekend, we're going to send a lot of our WFO radio listeners out to yell WFO at you. And then I will see you in 2 weeks in Epping, New Hampshire.
Looking forward to it. Joe, you have a great Father's Day, and tell your dad I said hey.
I will.
I'll see you in a couple weeks.
I will. Alan, thank you very much. Great job as usual.
Thank you.
The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And this weekend, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, Bristol, baby. Bristol. Now, on this show, coming up, we're going to hear from Doug Herbert. He'll be attempting to qualify in Top Fuel. Doug has had some great success at Bristol and on the verge, the brink. Would love to be back out there in Top Fuel. We're going to ask Doug about what he's got going for the weekend as he attempts to qualify for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Also on the show, ESPN's Dave Reif. Dave's going to join us to talk about what it's like being in the booth and the responsibility and all. It's a different world for Dave. He's in the AC this year, which has got to be just a delight for him. And also on the show, I told you before, I'll tell you again, we put out the word on Twitter and you guys were like, we want Wilk. We want Wilk. You guys wanted Tim Wilkerson, and we made it happen, just like that. Boom! We made it happen. So stick around. If you're a first-time listener, well, you're going to love WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Hopefully get to know the drivers and personalities of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series a bit better, and keep up with them all year long. Remember, our WFO Radio app is free. Now, before we hit the break, I want to remind you, this weekend, Bristol Dragway. If you're in North Carolina, if you're in Kentucky, if you're in Tennessee, if you're in West Virginia, if you're in Georgia, if you're in Alabama, you're close enough. You need to get over there. You need to get there and check it out. Thunder Valley is one of just the coolest tracks in the biz. You can click the banner ad on WFOradio.com or go to BristolDragway.com. Great seats are still available. I have been to this race a couple of times, and I have to say it is fantastic. Bring Dad, bring Mom, bring the kids, have a great time, and whenever you see one of our guys, shout out WFO, because they love doing that. They just love it. All right, when we come back, Doug Herbert joins us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
Now,
back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, getting ready for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, Bristol, Tennessee. And this is a track I can give you personal experience from. It is awesome. You got to get out there and check it out. And it's not too late to get tickets. And joining us now to talk about his first effort back at the track in a little while and the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, Doug Herbert is with us. Doug, welcome back to WFO.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you having me on. Know a little bit about winning at Bristol, so we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And this racetrack is very special for many reasons. You've had success right there in Thunder Valley. A lot of people think NASCAR when they think Bristol. Well, if you've gone to the drag strip, you might start to think a little drag racing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's just nowhere better to go there and watch a drag race. And, you know, they don't call it Thunder Valley for nothing. It's a great place to watch a race. The surroundings are incredible. The track runs right down through a valley. The cars are really loud there. Just really exciting. Just a great place to watch a race. And I won my first ever top fuel race there back in 1992 and ended up winning six more, won 6 years straight after Bristol. And so that's one of my favorite places.
And is that, I would imagine, one of the reasons you decide to reemerge here this weekend at the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals? I know that you have had plans, and we're going to get into it, to be back, and you're working on some things, but why this race?
Well, you know, it just coming up at the right time, able to get the cars together and get the team together to go up there and run, and we want to get out there and prove to everybody that we can do this, and there's reasons why I've been able to win 30 races over the past 20 years, and we still want to get out there racing. I've got a lot of racing left in me to do, and we're just out hunting the sponsorship to be able to do it. I've just taken some time over the last 5 years to build up the charity Breaks, which is putonthebreaks.org, and we've trained over 10,000 kids from like 20 states how to be safer, better drivers behind the wheel. And I did that after my boy's accident here in 2008. And so we've got that kind of rolling. Now I think the best thing to do, would be to build awareness for that charity and for everything else that we're doing to get back to doing what I like. I'm a racer. I want to get back in the car and go race.
Absolutely. And you have done great work with the charity. And whether it be the golf tournament that I was able to check out firsthand earlier this year or just getting the word out, I know a lot of our listeners have participated with their children, and it's, I think, filling a void, frankly. You've got so many kids that are interested in cars, and you get in a car for the first time, you want to push that pedal, boy, feels great. But someone needs to instruct that, hey, responsibility is important too, and I think you've done a great job with that.
Well, I sure appreciate it. It's really, it's been a, it's been a lot about love and going out there and showing these teenagers that we want to help them be better behind the wheel and all the consequences about, not driving safe and about being silly. And, my business at Doug Herbert Performance, I mean, we sell hot rod parts and race car parts, and that's what we do. But the place to do that is at a racetrack, and that's a neat thing about drag racing. You take your car out there, it doesn't matter if it's a minivan, you run it down the track, and guess what? You got a dragster, you get a time slip and reaction time, and you can compare with your friends or race your friends, and that's a neat thing about drag racing is there's a lot of tracks around the country, and all of them, or most of them run events throughout different weeks and bracket races and time trials, and that's the place to go take your car and run fast to go down the track, and that's one of the things that we try and get across at put on the brake schools.
Doug, what are the challenges of getting on and off, starting and stopping with a top fuel dragster? I can imagine manpower. We see the choreographed work that goes on in the pit area with the crew members. Now with these ever quicker turnarounds, we saw 55 minutes. We've seen 60 minutes very often. If you are going to run a race that is one-off or at very least infrequently, keeping the guys on your team up to snuff. So I have no doubts your capability of going rounds, but then all of a sudden to be in the situation for the first time after not being there, I can imagine that's very difficult.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're exactly right. The guys that are working on the car, they're choreographed together, and so we're at a little bit of a disadvantage there because I've only got one full-time guy, and the rest of these guys are guys that we kind of have brought in from, that have worked for me in the past or maybe that work for a NASCAR team now or something like that. And so basically they take the weekend off and come and go top fuel racing with us for the weekend. And everybody that we have are really, really good guys, but they're not working on the car every week like some of these teams. So, when it gets down to going rounds, we're probably going to hopefully get some help from some of the other teams out in the pits. We went to the finals here a couple years ago at Charlotte, and we've got everybody, everybody from around the pits. I mean, we're all friends, and when they know you need help, send crew guys over to help, and I'm sure we're going to have to rely on that when we start going rounds on Sunday up at Bristol.
Absolutely. And, folks, if you haven't made plans for the weekend yet, you can log on to WFOradio.com, click the banner ad, or go to BristolDragway.com. They've got all kinds of great ticket packages. It's Father's Day weekend, but they want you to bring mom, too. Plus, they got a really cool upgrade for the top-end viewing area, which is so cool. There's just not too many great places where you can take in these dragsters at 300 miles per hour, Doug, and Bristol has one of them.
Oh yeah, it's just a great place. And like I said, I won my first race there, and that's just a place that I always look forward to going to. Even last year I didn't race up there, but I drove up there and watched some of the race and talked to some friends. It's definitely a place that needs to be on your drag racing bucket list. It's a track that you don't want to miss. Nobody that goes to Thunder Valley is going to be disappointed. Young kids getting free. I don't remember what the age are. You probably know, Joe, but just a great thing to do with your family. Father's Day, take your dad, go out there with your dad, and go to the drag races.
Absolutely. Now, Doug, how is it out there? We know you know how to race, and if it's the day comes that you're back on the tour, you're going to be competitive. But right now it seems like everything is about the boardrooms. It's about the economy. We hear a lot of people, if you watch any of the business channels, the Fox Business, the CNBC, they say that corporations have more money on the books now than they've ever had. It's just about where to spend it, prying it loose, all of that. How is it going out there pitching for sponsorship, trying to get someone to fund a top fuel car? We always hear about NHRA being such a great value. You can get to so many eyeballs for, in the motorsports world, relatively little cost, especially compared to like the Sprint Cup Series. How has it been for you? What are you looking for? Are you trying to go full time? Give us the behind the scenes, what you can divulge to us so we have a better understanding of how it is out there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we are trying to go racing full time. I've got information up on my website, which is DougHerbertRacing.com, so fans could go there, check that out, or sponsors, potential sponsors. I've got a sponsor page. But I believe that drag racing, I mean, it is the fastest, most exciting motorsport that there is. And you're right, all these companies, they're making money right now. They went through the end of 2008 and business got bad. Well, their businesses have come around. They figured out how to make money, and everybody's got you know, big corporations, they have the money now. So now you've got to just be able to prove to them that we can give them the best return on investment, whether it's on the car, you know, it's a show car program, it's doing business-to-business connections, it's doing, you know, different kind of high-tech marketing to customers to grab, you know, potential customers' information so that they can turn those potential customers into customers. And that's what we want to do, you know, give them maximum return on their investment and the best value in motorsports. And we think that that's what our team can do, or that's what NHRA can do, and that's certainly what we want to prove to a company. And man, we've got right there to the finish line a couple times, and then had things fall through. But you know, we're fighting away, and hopefully we can get out there and do good, and just prove to these guys that we are the best place for them to spend their advertising dollars.
You have definitely had some special paint schemes and one-off sponsors getting their feet wet a couple of times. I thought it was very interesting how you're able to go outside the motorsports world and bring in some potential sponsors, and you keep doing that. Eventually, you're going to hit. Let me ask you to put on your analyst hat for a second, because I know you do spend time doing that, sometimes on the PA. Last year with Bob Fry very often, whenever you get out to NHRA Mellow Yellow Series events. What do you think about the level of competition out there right now? You've got the DSR cars, obviously very successful. Alan Abi has stepped up recently, but over and over again, we keep saying to ourselves, it's never been tougher than it is now. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Top Fuel, like you say, you got Alan Abi, which, you know, they were in a little bit of a rut, I guess you'd call it, last year, but they're, you could safely say that they're out of that rut, and they're going to be tough. And then Funny Car, same thing. John Forrest, you got Schumacher. I mean, and several other teams that are capable of winning races on any given week. So it's going to be tough just to go up to Bristol and get the car down the track and qualify and hopefully go a round or two. That's a tall order. And we're not playing against guys that are amateurs. I mean, these guys are pros, and we're kind of trying to go out there and be weekend warriors. So the level of competition now is as high as it's ever been. You know, unfortunately, they need more cars out there. You know, having a depth of the field is really important. And, you know, they do have guys that show up once in a while, like me or Dakin and Karamassinis and stuff. But, you know, to have back like we had in the 90s where you have 24, 25 cars show up at every race, that's really what we need. I mean, that's just the way it is. And hopefully, as the economy turns around and people realize that drag racing is the place to be, you know, that's going to happen again. But the level of competition has never been higher, that is for sure.
Folks, you can check out bristoldragway.com if you want to go see Doug race this weekend, Father's Day weekend, at the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. In terms of performance, Doug, how would you, like, where are you in terms of equipment? Engine parts, you can buy updates and get the latest, greatest. Where are you in terms of that? I know the chassis hasn't been long since it has run, so I know it's more than capable of going down the racetrack. What about tuning? Who's going to make the decisions with your group?
Well, yeah, I mean, we ran some 370s, so, I mean, we can run, some pretty good numbers. I think at Bristol is going to be a little bit of an equalizer because, number one, it's a little bit of an altitude track. You know, it's not a sea level track, so that's one thing. And looking at the weather, it's probably going to be hot. So we've got a little bit of a hot, slick racetrack with an altitude factor built into it. I don't think it's going to be, throw everything you can at it and go down the track like setting record speeds. That's probably not going to be what Bristol is. Bristol's going to be more like tiptoe down the track, go from the start line to the finish line under power, and you're probably going to have a pretty good shot at winning a round, I would think. So, you know, where we're going to be as far as, you know, how fast we're going to go, I don't know. I mean, I think we can be within 500s or so of the fastest guys, and so then it's just a matter of I got to do my job on the car and the starting line. And you know, luckily over the years I've had some really, really good guys working for me, from Dick LaHaye and Jim Brissett and McCulloch, and so it's kind of like I've been to school for 20 years on Top Fuel racing. So, you know, hopefully we can make some good calls. My guy Scott Gaddy's been with me for a long time, so between he and I, we'll get that thing tuned up and get it down the track. And you know, we've done the same thing for the past few years. And like I said, we were able to go to the finals at Bristol at Charlotte race a couple years ago, running like that with an all-star kind of a, you know, fly-in crew guys. And so we're hoping that we can do the same thing again.
I think it would be great. Now, what about that first hit, Doug, with someone like yourself who has such respect for these cars and such experience? Tell me about the first hit back. It's so expensive to even test these cars. Just getting that first sensation after it has been a month, 2 months, however long, the first run, and it's going to be so important. If you can go from starting line to finish line, as you said, put a number up, that's going to enable you to really refine and maybe make the show. But what about you as a driver, just that first feeling in your gut, having not made a run in a month, 2 months, 3 months?
Well, you know, there's a lot to that, and that first run is very critical. And not having ran the car that much over the past year, or in a year, as a matter of fact, it's a, you know, I've got to go back to all the couple thousand runs that I've made over the, you know, past time that I've been racing and rely on that experience. But it, you know, these cars, you do got to have a lot of respect for them. The number one thing you got to remember is you got to know when to shut off. And, you know, whether it's smoking the tires or whether it's, you know, getting out of the groove or ready to take out a cone or getting sideways or front ends coming up, whatever these things are, you've got to make decisions and you've got to make them fast, because that is the most important thing about driving a fuel car, is knowing when to shut off. So hopefully my brain will be in gear, and you know, you get in the car and the engine's running and your brain is going like a million miles an hour. It's, I equate it to people, like, if you've ever been in a car accident on the street, you're skidding, like there's somebody has stopped in front of you, or a car's pulled out in front of you, or a bicycle comes out in front of you, and you're just like, you know that something's going to happen, and your mind just goes into that super high speed. That's about how it is driving a fuel car. So you get on the track, and it's, you know, less than 4 seconds, but it might take 10 minutes to explain, and that's because there's, you know, your brain's kind of going into high gear and taking all these things in it going down the track. So hopefully I'll be able to put my brain back in that gear and get back in the zone when I get in the car and just get done what needs to get done.
Not like riding a bicycle, I can imagine.
Yeah. Well, it is a little bit like riding a bike, you know. Once you do it, you gotta get back into that zone, you know. I gotta be able to get back in the car this weekend and just put myself back in that zone. And my wife's actually got me on a diet, so I've been on a diet. So I got to let myself get out a little bit out of racing weight, so I'm trying to get a little bit of that back and get back into shape there a little bit. And just trying to do everything you can to be focused. I mean, being drag racing from the driver's standpoint is, you know, a lot of experience is one thing, but having the focus and concentration is one of the biggest things, and I think that is, you know, that's really important. I was talking to Forrest at Charlotte here a couple weeks ago or whatever, and he was saying something like, oh man, how's the sponsor deal going? I said, well, I've got down there with a couple of them, and I've even heard stuff like I was too old. And he goes, you're too old now. Are you kidding? I didn't even win my first championship while I was about your same age. So I don't think that is a factor. And I think that the more experience that you have and the ability for the drivers to focus and be on their game is far more important than being 20 years old.
I agree with that in this sport. I think that, you know, there needs to be a potpourri, differences in different drivers, but there's definitely a demographic for every age at the drag strip. Fans that like to see the guy who's been out there with a lot of experience take it to the younglings every once in a while, and I think that can be you this weekend. Doug, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I wish you the best of luck, because we'd really like to see you out there full-time for multiple reasons. One, you're a big personality, and this sport needs that, big personalities. But two, you've got a great message going on with the Brakes program, and anything to get that out there to more and more people is a great thing. And guess what? Drag racing is the perfect venue, and I think you know that, which is why you're going to be running this weekend.
Well, I sure appreciate it. We're nothing more that I'm looking forward to than getting out there to Bristol, hitting the gas, and hopefully making some decent runs so we can, number one, get qualified, and And number two, have a good showing on Sunday.
Absolutely. And, folks, if you want to see Doug race, you got to go out there this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all 3 days is the way I would do it. The Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, check them out at bristoldragway.com. And you can also check out brakes, putonthebrakes.org, if you want to know when the next program is coming near you or how you can find out more information about Doug's program. It is really one of the great things in the world of drag racing. Doug, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. I appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Good talking to you. We'll see you at Bristol.
Doug Herbert with us here on WFO Radio, and I'd like to see him have a great weekend out there. And, of course, remember to check out putonthebrakes.org and bristoldragway.com if you want to go see Doug race. Get out there and check out the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it is a great facility, just a lot of great places to watch from. So go check it out. It's going to be great. Now, coming up on the show, we're going to hear from ESPN's Dave Reif. And we're going to hear from Tim Wilkerson. Tim's getting ready for the weekend in the Nitro Funny Car class. And Dave's getting ready for the weekend in the ESPN 2 booth. Plus, they've got that ESPN3.com, which I think is the future of everything, personally. And our show, which is available on iPhone and Android application, of course, online, in front of your desktop computer or otherwise. We kind of felt like that was where everything was going when we started out. The internet, that's where it's going. Whether you're watching on PlayStation or Xbox or you're streaming or you're doing that Netflix deal where everybody gets the whole season at the same time. It's all about the net, baby. And that's where everything's going. I love the ESPN 3 broadcast when I can check it out. And they are really just kind of casual about it. It's like being at the track. So can't wait to hear Dave talk about it. And we got Tim Wilkerson coming up a little bit later on in the show. I want to tell you, though, about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank will put you in a dragster and give you an experience the likes of which you have never had. And if it's not on your bucket list, well, it should be. Because you hear us talking about these things all the time. Trust me, a super comp dragster will get your attention. If you're a thrill seeker or just want to experience what these guys are going through, check them out at frankhawley.com. You can click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com. It'll take you right there. You can learn a lot more about it. But Frank, he's a Funny Car World Champion, and he teaches the best in the business, including reigning Funny Car World Champ Jack Beckman. So check it out, frankhawley.com. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. When we return, Dave Reif from ESPN will tell us about his new gig right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey! This is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear, like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale for Father's Day. Get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head, or a sticker kit for your truck at WFOradio.com.
gets up.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, getting ready for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Bristol, baby, Bristol. And since we do have no winners this week, we'll have winners next week. We do have some time to delve into some of the more interesting sub-stories in the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. And one of those new stories is the television broadcast and new lead broadcaster and friend of the show, ESPN's Dave Reif, who joins us now. Dave, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I guess since there are no winners, that makes me the obvious loser of the week. So
we've
got to talk to both, but hey, that's okay. I'll take that label. That's no big deal. You say Bristol, baby. I say Thunder Valley. Let's do it.
See, you know what's funny is now that everyone from now on who comes on a non-winners edition is automatically going to consider themselves a loser, Dave. Thanks for labeling everybody on the show. It's obviously going to be a lot more difficult to book guests now. Oh, I'm going to be on the losers show. It's not losers. It's not about winners and losers. It's about winners and everybody else who's also very interesting.
Well, that's true, and I did not mean to label that, but it's funny how, you know, the perception of that can kind of go, at least over in the television world, you know, and it seems like a driver gets knocked out early in a first round and we've got a little bit of extra time. We welcome them to the booth, and I know back in the Paul Page days when he was doing it even before Paul, when Marty was here, that kind of sort of became known as the penalty botch. If you know, it was the way of taking a bad situation, at least trying to bring something good out of it. But if you were in the booth in the second round, it means you were obviously done for the day. So, you know, same kind of deal here. Hey, we'll just call it the ice cream sundae without the cherry on top. Doesn't matter. I don't like cherries anyway. So.
Well, I do, and so everybody's happy. Now let's get into it. First of all, regarding the penalty box, I think it's a win-win for everybody because they're getting a little TV exposure, and the drag racing fans get to learn a little bit more about a driver that may, even if they win, not get nearly as much television exposure necessarily as what you're giving them at that point. So I like the penalty box. Just want to throw that in there.
You know, and I'm a big fan of it too. Obviously, anytime we can bring in an extra set of eyes, an extra set of ears, and some great stories, you know, that's going to be a win-win for the fans at home. And it's one of the biggest reasons, quite honestly, I miss NHRA Race Day. You know, it was the one-off show that we were able to do where you'd get drivers, you know, not just right out of a race car or not just getting ready to climb into one, not getting a particular thought so much about, you know, one race, but having that opportunity to kind of open it up. And that's why I'm also one of the biggest fans of our Friday night ESPN3 broadcast, because we always, you know, welcome somebody into the booth too, whether it be a local legend or perhaps a racer like Dom Lagana came in at our most recent event here, and it's just kind of fun that show Race Day, the Friday night format on ESPN3 is just so laid back. It's like a bunch of guys sitting around drinking beer if they could, which of course we're not. That would be irresponsible, but bunch of guys sitting around just talking drag racing, doing some bench racing and bringing up old stories. Hey, do you remember when? A couple things occasionally slip out that, you know, maybe wouldn't make the normal network TV shows. So, you know, anytime we can get the extra set of eyes, the extra set of ears, and extra opinions, that's always very entertaining. Because I know, you know, Dave Reif and Mike Dunn and Gary Gerald and Jamie Howe and John Kernan coming at you all the time, it gets a little old. So you try to just keep it fresh, and we do that by bringing in guests.
I don't think it gets old.
Well, you,
I think
very
you guys are doing a fine job. All right, seriously, how are you doing? How do you like doing the big chair, so to speak? It's obviously a big transition. You've been running around the pits for over 10 years, 15 years, kind of on the beat, chasing stories, catching up with people, working the starting line, getting covered in rubber. This year, you're in the booth. It's a different job. How are you acclimating, do you think? I think
well,
you're doing great, but what about you?
Obviously, the biggest, I guess, way to answer that is for the fans that have taken the time, you know, either via Twitter, via Facebook, and more importantly, it's the people back in the pits, the guys that you've grown to be a family with, you know, be it the racers, be it the crew chiefs, be it the car owners that'll tell you that you're on the right track, you're doing a good job. Now, I'm not so sure of myself to say that I feel like I've got this position down. I don't think you ever feel that way. Paul Page always told me about that too. He says, you know, if you ever feel like you've had the best show you could ever have, or that one was a great show, you know, that's the time to step away. But as far as how I'm liking the job, it is obviously very fun, very rewarding, very challenging, and all of these things come at a really good time in a career that like you say, meant balloons over 15 years. You know, it's nice to actually see the races, because still one of my favorite, or I shouldn't say favorite, but you know, events that I didn't get to see live and in person that I heard because I was just literally on the other side of haulers is coming up at our race in Bristol. And it was the classic pedal fest years ago between Cruz Pedregon and Phil Burkhart, where both guys were on and off the throttle. And I remember standing there that day and almost just falling to tears because I couldn't see what was going on. I could hear it and I could imagine what it looked like. And to not see that and see it on a replay later, it just sort of lost some of that jaw-dropping, oh, my God, what just happened moments. And now I get those opportunities, and that's priceless. Just to see what goes on as it's happening, be a part of it, be able to add a little bit of additional expertise in addition to what the stat guy has put together in terms of numbers for the head-to-head matchups and the significances. I've got enough experience now. I'm able to interject some of those, and then to sit next to Mike Dunn and listen to him and be able to have conversations and ask him questions and just to be a part of that whole thing. It really is amazing. Now, I will say one thing that I'm sure at some point, and I already know it, but I will tell you that the world goes by real fast right now, and I'm sure you kind of understand that as well from the public address deal.
Yes.
You kind of get there. You feel like almost like it's an airplane ride. You strap in, you put your tray table up, you put the belt on, and the next thing you know, boom, you land. It's like, wow, I'm in an entirely different place, and what just happened to the last, you know, 2-3 hours, or in this case, 2-3 days? I'm going to miss the people, and that's my point, hanging out with them, you know, three days on a weekend. But I get out and say as hi to many of them as I can, find out what's going on Fridays. I'll find myself now staying late on Saturdays and Sundays, just to get an opportunity to get that interaction that I'm used to. But as far as having that job, it still is amazing to me that a small-town kid that, you know, came from rural Iowa and didn't know anything about motorsports until 1991 is in this position. It's absolutely something I do not take for granted, and I love every moment of it.
Do you miss the speckles of rubber all over your face like Mark?
That Lyle? I don't miss. And no? I'll tell you the other thing I don't miss, and it was obvious at our last race in Englishtown and could come even into play this weekend in Bristol, and it will take. And that's just, you know, climate control. You know, when it's 95 degrees outside, just to not have to go trouncing around out there. Now I'll do it. I'll do it in a heartbeat. I never take that for granted too. But I'll tell you, when it's 95 degrees outside, it is nice to not have to go out there and just trounce around and just sweat all day. It makes me have a whole new appreciation for Gary and Jamie and John, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It is very warm out there, and you got to be on the beat, heel-toeing on hot pavement to get the stories. Dave Reif from ESPN2 and the NHRA Mellow Yellow broadcasts with us here on WFO Radio. Dave, what about the storytelling side of the sport, but also the play-by-play side of the sport? I know you're a mainstream stick and ball sports fan as well, and some of the greats in the business, you think of the calls that they have created for themselves that become signature calls. When you think about those things and what has been said about our sport and what an exciting moment is and what could happen, whether it be a pedal fest or a great run, or there's just a myriad of things that can happen. The only difference is you're seeing two cars cover a 1,000-foot strip in less time, perhaps, than it takes a home run to get out of a ballpark sometimes. I'd love to time that perhaps one of these days. But how are you working on that? Are you waiting for it to come naturally? Are you thinking about the moments? Are you how are you handling that situation, Dave?
Well, I think that, you know, when it's going to come time toward the end of the year and you know, at some point you're going to be the guy that gets to say on ESPN, you're looking at your NHRA Mellow Yellow Top Fuel Champion or whatever it may be. Those are obviously things that I've thought a lot about, and as we get closer to those situations, the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals, obviously for the prestige of that race, and then of course the championships. You can best believe that I'm going to be, you know, pouring it over in my mind a million times, and I'm going to be jotting down notes, and I'm going to be preparing for those moments. Now, when it comes, I think, to the individual side-by-side runs and things that crop up on an individual basis, I don't know that there is anything that I can say that I would that could be labeled a trademark or anything that I want to do or do. I really honestly believe that the spontaneity of the moment and really, you know, kind of what comes into your mind is about the best thing you can possibly say. I don't know that I've had any of those real big moments yet. Again, this job is still and probably will be for a long time relatively new, and it comes by so fast. I always tell the story about how, you know, when Darrell Russell came into the sport, the late Darrell Russell, who we miss dearly, you know, he was coming from an alcohol dragster, and even making that transition, you know, he said was still about 30, 35 runs in the Top Fuel car to really kind of get your mind caught up to what the car is doing and even thinking a step or two ahead. Now, that's hard for the average fan to think about, you know, when you're talking about back in those days, 4.5-second quarter-mile cars are now our 3.7-second 1,000-foot runners. That we just can't conceptualize that. But, you know, you always hear the racers talk about on a good run, it just kind of feels like a nice drive down a interstate, for lack of better words, and there's time to think about things, and you can quantify and do all that sort of stuff. I'm not quite there yet, and that's a little bit about what I was talking about, where, you know, it seems like you get strapped in and suddenly it's Sunday, you're leaving and thinking, oh my God, I got to get on a plane in the morning, you know, what just happened to the weekend? But spontaneity, I think, is really the answer right now to those big moments, and you certainly realize them, and that's where the experience I hope pays off. The ability to realize when you've got, you know, you've got two Allen Abbey cars and two DSR cars, and they happen to race against each other, and you remember the story of Allen and what he did with Tony and the fact that Allen always wanted to run a team again. And, you know, we maybe make that into a little bit more of a rivalry there than it really even is, because, to be honest, if you know Allen Johnson, and I know you do, Allen Johnson wants to rip everybody apart. It doesn't matter. He just wants to go up there and win. But when there's that little added extra incentive, yeah, you got to play up on that a little bit. But I think those things will come. I hope right now that just my excitement, because I like to think of myself and always kind of have as a fan, even when I was a pit reporter, you know, what if I was sitting at home, what do I want to know about what's going on? So I try to adopt that philosophy the best I can, but I'm sure to answer your question about, you know, thinking ahead for championships and stuff like that, as we get closer to, you know, like I said, U.S. Nationals, closer to clinching championships and stuff, you know, I want to make sure that whatever comes out of my mouth is genuine, it's real, it's in the moment, and it doesn't come off as just somebody reading lines off a paper. It has to have meaning, and I guarantee you, when I get there, it's going to have meaning, because it's going to mean a lot to me. I love the sport.
ESPN's Dave Reif with us here on WFO Radio. Totally agree about building rivalries, but respectfully. And the whole seat time aspect of it, isn't it funny, Dave, when you're around racers all the time, the analogies to just about anything you do can be made to what's going on in the cockpit of a race car, simply put, seat time. They talk about those 100 runs that you have to make before you catch up to a fuel car. That's what you're experiencing. Just need seat time, and the more reps you get, the better you'll get, and the more comfortable you'll become, and then you'll become even better at what you do. And
you
I think that applies
all
to everything.
The racing analogies that come into real life, and I mean, if you spend time out there with the racers, you know, they'll tell you, okay, listen, you're maybe not going out there to peel the tires off the red light, but you know, you're paying attention. You see the lights changing over in the other lane, and you just kind of pay attention, look up, wait for that red to change green, and try to imagine yourself in that scenario. I had a situation here a week and a half ago where the Tuesday after the English Town event, played in a golf marathon. It was a fundraiser for the local Fellowship of Christian Athletes chapter here in the Omaha and Metro Nebraska area, and our goal on that day was to play 100 holes of golf. Well, it was the second year I've done this, and believe it or not, we were able to do that 100 holes in one day.
Hold on, yeah, let me absorb that and digest
it. Yeah,
think
about it.
100 holes, 18 holes will take me at least 4 hours, maybe longer. What kind of rules were you picking up? Was it a scramble?
No. You try to finish the hole. You know, if you get it within the leathers, you pick it up. If you get to a par three, you may play three balls. You know, stuff like that, just to add up the holes. And the ability, you know, the agenda is obviously just to get to that century mark. Perhaps play a little bit more. Of course, we had rain that kept us about an hour and a half from getting out on the course. So we didn't get out there till about 8. Got done about 5:45 in the afternoon. But the drag racing analogy that I kept telling everybody, I said, in our sport, our whole sport is predicated on that 60-foot time. The quicker you can keep that 60-foot time, the more momentum you make early, If you're able to keep it without breaking the tires free, the more speed, the more ET you're able to carry at the top end of the racetrack. And I kept telling all these people that have never done it before, I said, we have to hit the ground running. You almost have to literally play the first 2 hours, 3 hours of this tournament as quickly as you can. And you can figure it out from there. If you play 20 holes in those first 3 hours, you're going to have a hard time making 100. But if you can get 30, 35 holes played in those first 3 hours, the rest of it kind of comes pretty easy. So there are so much of my life revolves around this sport and the analogies to speed and performance. And it's not just at stoplights. It's not just at golf marathons. It's just part of my life.
It really is. There's a lot of metaphors for life out at the drag races. All right, let's put some of that expertise to use here on WFO Radio, Dave. Starting off with Top Fuel, where you already pretty much mentioned the story so far has been DSR and Alanabi having the top five in points right now, with Langdon coming off back-to-back wins. But the Sarge has been great, just 4 points back. AB has won a couple of races. Spencer has been close, but even Doug Coletta in sixth has had number one qualifying positions, looking to break through. Of the drivers who are not Alanabi and DSR, who do you think has been the best so far?
Oh, that's a good question here, because I was all prepared about how I was going to talk about Sean Langdon right there, being the guy that really is kind of on point leading this thing, and the championship probably going to be going through there. But among the drivers that have it, oh, it's a shame what happened to Brandon. It's the second time he's had an incident come up medically in the middle of a year, and that's a team that's in seventh, and they're going to be doing everything they can. He's only going to be out a couple of races, but he's going to be watching what goes on behind him with his own teammate, with the Bob Vandergriff and Clay Milliken team, and Steve Torrence, who last year was already well up there. The best of those teams right now, outside of the top six, because that's another thing. Doug, like I said, is really a win waiting to happen. But, you know, Bob Vandergriff has put it all together once this year. Actually got to watch him run back to the starting line and greet his team live from our Houston event. So Bob's been very, very good. But, man, it's a log jam down there from 7th through probably 11th, about 100 points, a little more than 5 rounds separating them. And the best of those, I think right now you got to say, is going to be Bob Vandergriff probably. That's just my opinion. Clay's been right there. You know, those guys are two teams that are experimenting. I shouldn't even say experimenting. They've actually ponied up the dough, Bob has, and went ahead and updated some of the pieces and parts with regards to the cylinder heads now with the bigger valves, and things that everybody's trying to do, something that the Schumacher team has done for a lot of years, and so far it's paid off. Bob's got himself a win. Clay's got himself a number one qualifying effort. And as we edge closer to the countdown, those are going to be the toughest competitors for Brandon Bernstein to stay inside of the top ten.
Absolutely. In funny car, Matt Hagan is the points leader. He's been great. Johnny Gray has been great, also on a mission. Cruz has been very strong on tracks that I wouldn't necessarily have expected him to be, kind of using some of that veteran savvy to pick up wins in a couple of places. Then you got Capps and Beckman still trying to find their stride. Wilk has been good. Courtney has shown some real strong performance. Funny car, it's almost unfair they only take 10 funny cars for the countdown right now.
Well, if you go back all the way to the early 90s, it was John Force when he started clipping off all these championships. It seemed like if anybody wanted to get in the sport, they wanted to drive a nitro car, they wanted to go where John Force was. And that's what I love about this category. Everybody is really gunning for that number one spot. And how ironic is it that, you take a guy like Ron Capps that has been in this sport since 1995, started with the Top Fuel car, been in the funny car, been a bridesmaid so many times, it's not even funny. And here comes these young kids like Matt Hagan, who goes out and gets a championship in front of him, actually goes right through him to get that championship. Same story with Jack Beckman and Johnny Gray this year. What is it going to take for Capps to put it all together? And I think it's just going to be a late season run. And maybe that's what that team is gearing up for this year, because we've seen all the years where Ron's been so strong so early. And then at the countdown, things seem to change. So I'm betting that Ron's hoping that that's the way it goes this year. The real surprise is you get down there one spot past Courtney in seventh, and that's Robert Height, who, last year ripped off four wins in a row, was part of a John Force team that won the first six races to start the season, and now we're talking about the Don Schumacher cars in the same vein. But for Robert, it's been more than a year since that team has won, and we're used to seeing them clip off wins left and right. So to see him in eighth, to see John Force in tenth, and Mike and I talk about this quite a bit, Mike Dunn, the fact that, Zippy getting out of the car, getting back into really what is his creature comfort, and that is tuning a car, because it allows him to focus on just one thing. He was very vocal in a nice conversation we had, very conversational about how daunting the task is, especially by the time you get to the U.S. Nationals. And you start thinking about the countdown, and everything obviously has a lot more importance. Every round, every pass has that much more at stake when you get to that point in the season. And then you have to not only be the guy that drives the car, you have to be the guy that tunes it and leads your team. You have to have the media responsibilities as well as the sponsorship obligations. Mike just said it flat wore him out last year. So to have him team back up with John, everybody kind of thought, okay, here we go. Look out for John Force. And that's not to say this team's not going to find their way. They certainly will. They're too smart over there. John's too good a driver. I mean, how else do you win 130-plus races and 15 championships? It's just going to be a matter of time. But, for those guys right now, like Tasca in 11th, Lexus in 12th, Jeff Arend, he's considerably further back. Right now, that top 10 looks like it's going to be a 12-car battle. So somebody better start getting their stuff together here pretty soon, because the races before the countdown starts are starting to wind down, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, and as much as Funny Car is wide open, we move into Pro Stock, and Mike Edwards has just flat-out dominated the field. Early in the season, they had a couple of wins slip away where they were far and away the quickest car at the racetrack, just getting the power to the ground, a bit of a problem. But now really putting some distance between himself and second place Jed Coughlin, 152 points. You think about that six-race countdown, though, anything can happen. But some big question marks. Greg Anderson, eighth in points. That is a little bit shocking.
That is very shocking, and that's something that doesn't sit well with Greg. I can tell you. And you know this as well. I mean, if Greg Anderson is second in points, Greg's not happy about that either. I mean, he is a purpose-built winning machine, and that's what he's put together with Jason Lyon, that KB team. But all that means is that ever since they left Englishtown until the time we roll into Bristol, those guys have burned the midnight oil, so to speak. I'm going to use the Doug Herbert line here. They just went back to North Carolina and worked half days, just 12-hour days at minimum. Trying to figure out how to get those cars, those Camaros that they drive, a little bit better. But, you know, you talk about Mike Edwards and the fact that a couple of wins have slipped away. He'll be the first one to tell you that if there's a weak link in the team right now, it's him. He's very humble, very honest about that. And there have been a couple of hole shot incidents here and there. But, you know, you think about what he's done the rest of the year also, twice setting the national elapsed time record. That's worth 20 points two times, so that's 40. You start adding up all the little points that you get for the 3 points for being quick of a qualifying session, 2 for being second, 1 for being third. We did the math here at our last race, and he has amassed an entire national event win worth of bonus points, and that's how you get a gap of 152 points, which is 8 rounds of racing over Jegg and Allen. And then behind that, it's even more staggering. You know, everybody thinks Allen's off a little bit, and, you know, Jegg's coming back and having a good year. But they think that Allen's off. Well, you go back and compare it to last year. Yeah, you know, Allen may be a few points behind where he was. It's just the fact that Mike has been so good. The gap between Mike and Erica Enders is 267 points, and that's to fourth. So, you know, you take Mike, you take Jegg, you take Allen. Those are the three cars right now, the cream of the crop, top of the heap. But as you mentioned, when things get reset and Mike Edwards takes what is now 152-point lead, changes it to 30, things change. But I will say one thing, and this was to me one of the coolest moments about Englishtown and our last race, is the fact that everything that was going on in Oklahoma, and they had tornadoes go right over their shop out in the Broken Arrow, Tulsa area, and, of course, you can't live in Oklahoma and not know somebody affected by what went on in Moore and El Reno with those giant tornadoes. They were... To say their thoughts were on their race car last weekend would be a little off. They were very concerned. I know they spent a lot of time on the phone, but it was really nice to see Mike, just like Allen did last year in the countdown, really rise to the occasion. And when it mattered most and he got in his car and he got in that comfort zone and the motor fired, he was able to focus and get the job done. But, you know, for all those people in Oklahoma, God, our thoughts are still with him. It's going to be a long time, but we know they're strong down there, and they'll be back. And as far as Mike Edwards goes, he's strong right now, and they're just going to expect him to continue to kind of roll through this summer too.
But it will be interesting come countdown time because of that point reset. And I know some purists maybe don't like that, but I certainly do because of the playoff nature. And just we won't be racing this weekend, but Pro Stock Motorcycle, another wide-open affair. As much as Hector Arana Jr. has got a nice little points lead, I think that these other teams are actually gaining ground. The Harleys are not out of it by any means. I believe they will... begin an ascent in terms of points, and I think this is as wide open as Funny Car is.
You know, the question was asked to me here recently too. Did the NHRA, you know, go too far with the rules changes in terms of how they changed the engine designs and whatnot this year, and should they make a change now? And I said vehemently, without a doubt, no, absolutely not. You know, we're three races when I was asked this question. Now 4 races into this season. You know, Hector's done his job. Hector Jr., that is until last weekend when, you know, they had the little pit flap there that saw his crew chief exit from the racetrack and then further sanctions be handed out. But as far as, you know, the class itself and the continuity, obviously everybody knows the tough challenge is you got 3 different makes and models of motorcycles that react differently in different weather conditions. But what I think they've got right now is a competitive package, and I think it's something that you can't really base what changes perhaps need to be made or will be made down the road on a body of work that's 3 races old, or now 4 races old. You know, I think we got to play this thing out, see what happens. We know that the Buells have been strong. They've been strong the entire time. And we know the Harleys have had a setback. But we've also seen both Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick at different races. One of their bikes seems to be better. There's too much brain power over there between Andrew, his brother Matt, you know, multi-championships there, Terry Vance, the godfather of the entire class, and Byron Hines, the things he's done. There's just too much brain power over there. And by the time we get to the countdown, it really doesn't matter, you know, where those guys end up. As long as they end up in the top 10, that's something that Andrew Hines is, you know, finds himself a little bit out of the top 10 right now. But there's a lot of races before we get to the countdown. They're going to get it figured out. And as far as the Suzukis go, we saw Steve Johnson. Granted, it was his only good run of the weekend, the number one qualifier at our last event, but Jimmy Underdahl's bike has shown promise too. So I think top to bottom right now, I mean, they're pretty well matched as they've been in quite some time. We're certainly not going to probably have a year, in my opinion, where the Buells sweep, much like the Harleys did last year, minus, of course, Michael Ray, and it was a twin. It was a Buell. It wouldn't surprise me, though, to see a Suzuki get up there, get a win this year, to obviously see the Harley-Davidson. So Pro Stock Motorcycle, top to bottom, I know it seems a little lopsided right now. Let it play out. Let's see where we're at by the time we get to the countdown. And let's not plan any rules changes. Let's play this thing out. Let's crown a champion, and then let's look at a body of work 16, 17 races long before we make any more big changes.
Very much looking forward to it. Dave, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. Love catching up with you and getting your perspective on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Once again, I think you're doing a great job. Legendary shoes to fill on multiple levels. Very few people have done that job, and I think you are seamless in your transition. Excellent work, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
You know, the best part for me is the fact that with the new era of what we've got going on out there, I get to see you on occasion, too, out at the races a lot more than in years past, too, not just hear you on the radio.
I'm having a great time. So far,
it has been absolutely fantastic.
And I just grilled you for all kinds of information, too, so thank you.
No worries. That's what I'm here for. You can call anytime, man.
I am absolutely loving it. It is so much fun. And the travel part, wow, you guys really travel your tails off, but it's worth it once you get to the track.
It really is.
Dave, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Dave Reif with us here on WFO Radio, and that was a great conversation. And that's what you get here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Not only are we delving into the fact that he's got a new gig and all this new responsibility and his life has totally changed and been turned upside down in a positive way, but also some analysis of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And the point that is most prominent to me is ESPN3 and the just cool, laid-back, mellow fashion that racers and race fans get together and have a conversation about the sessions as they develop on there. And I look forward to checking it out this Friday. Big thanks to Dave for coming on the show. Of course, he is welcome back anytime. We still got Tim Wilkerson coming up here on the show, but now I want to tell you about a new sponsor. Look, are you a bracket racer, a dirt track racer, an oval track racer, a roundy round racer, a boat racer? You need to know about Wilson manifolds. You know that's where the horsepower is made, in the intake manifold. Well, for over 30 years, Wilson Manifolds has helped its customers set records, win poles, races, and championships in all major categories of professional motorsports. They've claimed titles in the NHRA, NASCAR Cup Nationwide and Truck Series, ARCA, the NMRA, the NMCA, and it goes on and on. If you're looking for horsepower, you got to give them a call or check them out at wilsonmanifolds.com. They've got great customer service and technical support available for all their products, and allow the weekend racer to receive the same technology and attention to detail that their NASCAR Cup and NHRA Pro Stock teams come to expect. So check them out at wilsonmanifolds.com or give them a call, 954-771-6216. That's 954-771-6216. That's wilsonmanifolds.com. Check them out. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Tim Wilkerson talk a little funny car on Father's Day weekend.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. Now, you told me on Thursday you got the WFO Radio app. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the WFO app, brother, so you can keep up. For people that just are a fan of the sport, all they got to do is turn on WFO if they miss the race, because you get to hear the side-by-side blows from the winners, everybody that was there. You got Al Reinhart on, and you do a great job. You know, I mean, you put out all the different perspectives of NHRA racing. I told you, not only am I just a professional racer in NHRA racing, I'm a fan of the sport, and I love it. And if you're a true fan, you got to have the WFO app.
For more with the stars of drag racing, download the WFO Radio app, available in the App Store or Android Market. Motorsports entertainment, full interviews with weekly winners, videos, push notifications, and more. Download it now.
It's great to be on your show, man. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. And if you follow us on Twitter, you know, I ask questions from time to time on WFO Radio. And this week, I wanted to know, who would you guys really like to hear from getting ready for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals? Which driver out there in all of Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, who would it be? And we got an overwhelming response for this man. And you asked and you got him, Tim Wilkerson. Wilk, welcome back to WFO.
Hey, good to see you.
Good to hear you.
There you go.
How about our fans requesting Tim Wilkerson overwhelmingly on our Twitter feed? I thought that was very
sweet
cool.
Of him, I tell you. It's great to have fans, that's for sure.
You have they even have a name, Wilkes Warriors.
Yeah.
And so, are you going to give them something to cheer for this weekend? That's the real question.
Oh, I hope so. I got to stay away from Matt Hagen. I can't get by that guy.
Well, you're not the only one. He's been
running
very well.
Kidding. No, we're hoping to. Should have a good weekend, and weather's looking good and hot, so that'll keep the playing field closer, and maybe we could get our Ford into the winner's circle at the Ford Nationals. That would be great.
And that has been your hallmark, the ability to get down very difficult racetracks. And so it's kind of interesting how when different teams are looking at the weather reports, they're hoping for different things. You're looking for a hot, greasy racetrack.
I don't know if I'm really looking for one, but I'm not upset when I see one. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds very good and appropriate. And looking at the point sheet, regarding the four drivers, you are the best so far in 2013. That's very interesting, considering the way your team is set up.
Well, yeah, we've just been fortunate to have the right people to race and to go rounds and not make mistakes, and we're going to try to continue in that mode. I'd like to go into Indy a little less dramatic than I did last year, and so I don't have to pull a rabbit out of the hat again.
Yeah, that is always but we love that, you know, someone is under the pressure cooker is on. Maybe it just shouldn't be you this year.
Yeah, it made for a good story. No doubt about that.
Absolutely, and you were able to get in, which was absolutely massive. Now, how are the guys coming along? Would you say they're seasoned? Are they up to speed after the trial by fire you put them through at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, no, I think, like you said, it's been baptism by fire for those boys. They've been thrown into the mix and did really a terrific job. Can't complain about them at all. And they're learning more every day, and they're excited. And you can't teach that. And that's what we're trying to keep our momentum going. You know, round wins always good for morale.
And the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals in Bristol, a lot of our NASCAR fans that listen to the show, they think immediately the world's fastest half mile. But this racetrack tucked in Thunder Valley has its own character, its own attitude, its own style, and Father's Day weekend, that's pretty special too.
Well, Father's Day weekend, yeah, that would be a good one to do that in. I've never thought of it that way. The noise that place endures during this weekend that we're there is second to none. So we're very excited about going there and always got great fans at Bristol and just really no more excited about going anywhere, to tell you the truth. The next race after that is New Hampshire, and we are actually that's going to be interesting too, because we have really no clue how that place is going to go.
All I know is that they just opened up some more ticket availabilities because there has been extreme demand up there, which that's great news to hear about, that there is a place that is overwhelmed with ticket requests.
Yeah, no, that's good. I hope that same thing happens this weekend in Bristol. We usually have a pretty good showing in Bristol. As long as it's not talking about rain, I think that you're going to see a good crowd there too. Also. That usually kind of runs them off there a little bit, but we're going to endure this weekend, no rain.
Yes, that is what we are all requesting. Now, getting ready for the summer months, though, we're already in June. Can you believe it, how quickly it has gone by? I wonder, does it feel like it has gone quickly to you? But we've got Bristol this weekend, hopefully going to be hot, says Tim. Then we're going to Epping. We got Chicago coming up. We got Norwalk. Last year, Norwalk was blisteringly hot. Do you consider that a time for you to climb up the points sheet?
Well, I'm hoping to, yeah. We always seem to excel in three and four back-to-back races. I don't know why. I think we just maybe kind of hit our stride during those, but that's kind of when we came on this year, when we got to, Houston, Charlotte, Houston, Atlanta, three in a row, and I think you're going to see that momentum keep rolling that way. And with any luck, we can come out of there in just as good a shape as we went in, if not better. I should like to get a win under my belt. I'm tired of being the bridesmaid.
Well, let's see if you can do it this weekend at the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Tim, thank you so much for making the time for us and our WFO radio audience. We asked, they requested you, and just like that, people, Tim's on the show. That's the kind of pull we have. I think.
Yeah, that Joe's got it going on, folks out there, no doubt about that. He calls and you have to answer.
Tim, thank you so much, and hey, maybe we'll be talking again on Tuesday.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you, buddy.
Tim Wilkerson with us here on WFO Radio. Love the quick check-in, and that was because of you people out there. We asked, you answered, we got them. Simple as that. Follow WFO Radio on Twitter, or me, WFO Joe, and the Twitter following is all over the place. We were at 3,800, we were at 2,000, we were at 3,500, we're at 3,700, we're at 1,900. I don't understand it. Just follow us, baby. Follow us. And we always send out the info about the app. Let's talk about that. The WFO Radio app. If you're a first-time listener, this is the part of the show where I make some final observations and shill all our stuff. The free WFO Radio app for iPad, iPhone, and Android. You got to check it out. All the shows, all the interviews, our video show, WFO Radio Test Drive. Got to drive convertibles this past week. Our Topless in Miami event that we do every year. I got to drive some awesome cars, absolutely awesome cars. We'll be talking about it on Ignition this week. You got to check it out. Just some spectacular cars. Camaro, Mustang 5.0 convertible, Camaro SS, Fiat Abarth, everything. It was amazing, amazing. Lots of cars, lots of driving on Key Biscayne in Miami. It was spectacular. The video will be up soon. But follow us on Twitter, and if you download that app, a great review really helps out the show. Really helps out the show. Like 15 stars. Love it. It's the best ever, because then we are elevated in the App Store and Google Play. Not telling you what to do, but boy, would that be helpful. And speaking of which, for all you fans out there, the best thing you can do is pass the word of the show. Because everybody I meet, they say, hey, I love the show. They're always with a friend who's not heard the show. So that's the best form of advertising, that word of mouth. And here, thinking about it, we are about to embark on the second half of the regular season in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series schedule. Think about that. First of all, Mellow Yellow. This is the first year. We're only 9 races in, and it feels like they've been the title sponsor. It's very smooth. It's rolling off the tongue. I love what they're doing. There's commercials out there. I got the fridge stocked with Mellow Yellow, and I know right around 3 p.m., boom, time for a Mellow Yellow. I'm really liking it and enjoying it in the media center as well. I think it's going very well. So far in each class, it's wide open. Dare I say, it's WFO. In Top Fuel, you've got the major players, Langdon and Tony Schumacher, with Antron's title defense going pretty well. They've overcome some obstacles, obviously the crash in Pomona. They've won 2 races, but they're chasing some gremlins. I know those guys listen to the show. What's up, guys? Saw them in E-Town, and they're working it. If you're going to have problems, now's the time. If you're going to chase something, now's the time. But there are 9 races till the playoffs. You know the Coletta car is going to win some races. Both of them, probably. Bob Vandegrift, they've got the tune-up. They're elevating. Clay Milliken coming off a number one qualifier. It's never been better. It's never been better than it is. Brittany Force is going to start going rounds. It's never been better than it is right now, I don't think. And Funny Car, Matt Hagan is recharged, rejuvenated, refreshed. He's going toe-to-toe against his teammate, Johnny Gray, who is done after this year. No more mellow yellow points. No more chasing championships. Why? He says he bought a boat. And so that team is on a mission. You know Jack Beckman, who's just starting with this runner-up out there in Englishtown to get going for a title defense. You know, Ron Capps, after the Phoenix win, he's going to get into the mix. The Force cars, they're going to show up. They had that big Kansas weekend, and Robert Height has got to start moving up after having a meet-up with the boss, who is sitting 10th. John Force is 10th. So there's a lot of great stories out there. In Top Fuel and Funny Car, in Pro Stock, it's a little bit different. Mike Edwards is the rabbit. He's got it. He's dominating. He's crushing these guys. Can he maintain that for the next 9 races and then through the 6-race countdown? Is that possible? Will he have a down period? Is Alan Johnson going to win the Mopar Mile High Nationals again? What about the Western Swing? Big stories about to happen, about to unfold right before our eyes. It's never been better. And Pro Stock Motorcycle, just wide open. The Harley Davidsons are going to get going. They're going to win their races. It's about being good at the countdown. Star Racing is there. The Aranas are there. Matt Smith is there. Everybody's there. Steve Johnson, it's WFO. How's it going to play out? What's it going to be? Will people lose control? Who knows? And so I'm very excited about following this to its conclusion as we start the second half of the regular season this weekend. Very cool. I want to say a big thanks to all our guests once again. Doug Herbert for coming on the show. Best of luck, and make sure to check out putonthebrakes.org. That is a great organization, and it's not an organization that is just like, hey, donate. They're out there doing stuff, educating kids. Putonthebrakes.org. Check them out. Also, ESPN's Dave Reif, check him out on ESPN3 this Friday night, or watch him on ESPN2 on Sunday night. Tim Wilkerson for coming on the show. Tim likes those hot, greasy racetracks, but most importantly, I agree with him. No rain. No rain. I agree with Tim. And Alan Reinhardt for coming on the program. Big thanks to AR for doing a little breakdown and answering your questions. If you've got a question, 954-889-6796. Remember, if you download the app, I send out the information usually on Monday. Hey, if you got a question, call it in. You got to get in the habit of that. And once you see that, pick up the phone and you call. It works anytime, day or night, just like a voicemail. Also want to thank the folks at Frank Hawley Drag Racing School, of course, Bristol Dragway, for coming on. Hopefully WFO and the audience will represent this weekend. Get out there and check out that track. It is an awesome facility. And Wilson Manifolds. If you're looking for that extra horsepower in the intake manifold area, you got to check them out. Go to wilsonmanifolds.com. They also do nitrous oxide systems. We'll be telling you more about them in the coming weeks here on WFO Radio. In the meantime, check them out, wilsonmanifolds.com. Good people with a good product. They know how to make horsepower, and they've done it in the NHRA and NASCAR. And finally, happy Father's Day to everyone out there, the dads and the moms and the kids, the sons and the daughters. Father's Day is the kind of thing I think everybody celebrates together. Have a great time at Thunder Valley. And to my own father, Dad, thank you so much for putting me on to this drag racing stuff. It's awesome. I love it. Thank you so much for raising me. I appreciate it. I think we're doing okay, right? Pretty good. Good job, Dad. Anyway, that's going to do it. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Great Giovanni in Miami, Patrick, and everyone that helps out with the show, Carlos Hawk and stuff. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I guess since there are no winners, that makes me the obvious loser of the week. Got to talk to both, but hey, that's okay. I'll take that label. That's no big deal. You say Bristol, baby. I say Thunder Valley. Let's do it.